is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Harry Siegel, columnist at the New York Daily News, op-ed editor at the Daily Beast. Occupy Wall Street, 10 years after, and dealing with the crisis at Rikers Island and incarceration in New York City and New York State. Harry, I begin with a sentimental journey. You and I, in discussion 10 years ago, Harry, of Occupy Wall Street, I visited, at your recommendation, one weekend, the Zuccotti Park encampment. It was festive. It reminded me of being young when the 1970s, the 1960s were like that. People with incense selling oranges and hot dogs, the vendors. Eventually, it turned into what was seen as a disruption to the city's order after the crisis of 2008-2009. But I confess to you now, Harry, 10 years after, what was regarded as radical, an outlier, a bridge too far, challenging the profits of Wall Street while America was tumbling down the stairs with broken mortgages and wrecked family opportunities. Now is legislation before the U.S. Congress about equity. So, Harry, here's the trick question, because your new column is about incarceration. 10 years from now, will we be remembering Evacuate Rikers Island? Good evening to you, Harry.
Good evening, John. So there's an old jazz tune called Rehearsing for a Nervous Breakdown, which is great and jangly, like the sort of music you could see playing with the cartoon. And I think that's part of what happened with Occupy Wall Street. And part of what made it eventually seem so filthy and chaotic and off was that the NYPD, as I reported at the time, started sending emotionally disturbed people and drunks and other people to the occupation. And then once they were there, encouraging them to, hey, you got your free speech rights, do your thing. And it was in large part the physical thing in New York, as opposed to the bigger media story about it, festive. And it brought in a lot of people who felt frustrated about the government, about what had just happened with the banks and about their position in life, and sort of wed them to political participation. A decade later, many of the things that brought those people together and frustrated them are still happening, but even worse. And there's a new generation of lawmakers who have much less patience for sort of the built-up problems in our system, very much including incarceration, which brings us to Rikers Island, where a 12th person this year died there today, Wednesday. And despite a shrinking population that's gone up a little bit with the virus, but is way down from what it used to be, has just become a miserable, chaotic place where the inmates are very unhappy, the remaining guards are very unhappy. When these lawmakers visited last week, an inmate tried to kill himself in front of them, in front of two of them. It just is clearly out of hand. And so now you have lawmakers like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying, just release everyone and close this place. It's disastrous. For various reasons, there's no political chance that can happen. And I do not think it would be a good or healthy thing to just say, everyone, you're out now, whatever you've done, whatever you're awaiting trial for. That said, the conditions in there are past miserable and should be appalling to anyone with a sense of human decency, including for people who are locked up. Bearing in mind that most of the people locked up there, John, have not been convicted of a crime yet. They're awaiting trial. Some of them are serving short sentences. There's an intake area where inmates are supposed to be for one day that they've been in for weeks, where, according to public defenders, many people are catching the coronavirus, where there's very little water. It's unbearably hot. There's few guards to control things. It's just clearly out of hand. And it's another one of these built-up problems that either people start dealing with now, and I suspect that's much more likely to be the next mayor, Eric Adams, than Bill de Blasio, who just wants to get through the next 100 days and have this be someone else's problem. But either we deal with this now, or we will be reading about this and thinking about it a decade ago as a mischance to have corrected course and fixed something that is seriously wrong and broken. The last thing I'll say is de Blasio was forced into a plan to close Rikers. That's supposed to happen by 2026. That plan does not appear to be on track. For that to happen, we'd have to open new, smaller jails in the boroughs and closer to the courts that inmates could be held in. And it's going to be up to Eric Adams, who's hedged his bets on this and what he thinks of the new jails that are necessary for this to happen, to work this out. And otherwise, we're going to have to figure out something with Rikers, or just stop incarcerating people altogether, which I think is outside the range of the practical or the possible.
It's called, you teach me, Harry, it's called decarceration. Is that the terminology for end incarceration?
Yes. So there are all sorts of activists pushing for decarceral policies, full decarceration, just free everyone from Rikers. You know, elected officials, prominent ones, saying that right now. Again, I think that's, one, a bad idea, and two, would have bounce shot consequences that would lead to crack down too much of this stuff. We need to have a safer city and cleaner Midtown sort of policies. But incarcerating West people and incarcerating them in more decent conditions, ones you could look someone else in the eye and describe without being ashamed and humiliated that you're part of a city that's teaching people that way, seems like a really important standard to achieve now, or to expect real consequences for failing to do so later. And of course, when you have progressive Democratic mayors, the pressure on them to do so is considerably higher than it was in our 20-year interregnum with Giuliani and Bloomberg, who both were able to, in Giuliani's case, do some head cracking, especially when Carrick was the corrections commissioner, who later became the police commissioner. And in Bloomberg's case, just ignore the problems there and say, these aren't my people, and this isn't my thing, and let it proceed. But Democrats who say correct and moral things are going to have to find ways to live up to them, and that is the harder part. And so far, this administration has failed pretty miserably.
The governor, the new governor, Kathy Hochul, does she have the authority to decarcerate Rikers Island, to rescue the people who are inside?
There are some lawmakers calling her to claim that authority, but she does not have it right now. And de Blasio has tried very hard to blame the state, to blame the court system, to blame everyone except himself. What Hochul did do was use the limited authority she had to free just under 200 people who had been locked up there, and to move another 200 to other facilities. But that's more or less what she can do. The rest of this is up to the mayor and city officials.
The statistics you helped me understand, Harry, a considerable portion of the inmates in Rikers Island are there for bench warrants, which is not what I would say is a violent crime. You have statistics from 2019, from before the pandemic. Is there an alternative to bench warrant incarceration in unacceptable conditions?
John, this is distressing because these are actually the statewide numbers. 40% of all the people who were locked up in 2019, not everyone, so not the whole prison population, but the people who were sent to prison that year, 40% of them were there for technical violations like missing a curfew, living in an unregistered address, failing an alcohol test. That is a recipe for locking people up indiscriminately, for taking whatever subset of those people are trying to straighten out and turn around their lives, and punishing them for very small transgressions, and continuing this problem, which New York has struggled with for a long time. Mario Cuomo, the father of the now former governor for the last 12 years, Andrew Cuomo, of course, his entire jobs plan for upstate New York was building prisons. And right, once you build those prisons, you know, you need people to work at them. Those people are a real constituency. They vote where the prisoners don't. And you build up to have this. It's an unhealthy system, and it's something that the progressive Democrats are either going to have to do a better job on, or they're going to own this.
Harry Siegel, New York Daily News columnist, 10 years after Occupy Wall Street, 10 years before decarceration. This is CBSi on the World. I'm John Batchelor.